Welcome everyone to the Westprint Sports Review. This show is brought to you by Westprint. They're based in 9 Prairie Street in New Lynn. Their number is 09-827-8531. Or you can email them on westprint.co.nz. And I have to say, the sun shone yesterday and the sun shone. Well, it rained on Saturday, the sun was shining. It was shining on a little club in Sandringham. It kicked off at 1 o'clock. The Eden Reserve team, who built a real good culture over the years, they won the reserves. They won the George Nicholson Cup for the reserve team. They won 20 points to 8 over Pakuranga, I believe. I think I've got that right. I hope I've got that right. And if I don't, I'll probably get a few calls. I'll probably get a few slaps around the ear. And I want us to have a special shout out to Stuart Tarvale, the head coach, Rowan, James, Cassidy, and Morgan. They've done a fantastic job of building a really good team of culture in there. And, of course, a team doesn't survive without its sponsor. And Force Electrical were behind that. My old mate Nick Brakovich. Old Brakes, I've never seen you smile so much and give out so many man hugs. And good on you. And then I went to the press box to cover the game for Planet FM. And believe me, it was quite nerve-wracking. But what had actually happened was, ding-dong, the witch is gone. 99 years of waiting. Eden finally won a Gallagher Shield, 19 points to 10 over Grammar Tech. I might as well get on to it. I might as well show a bit of emotion. To me, that was a landmark day. To have a club in two Premier Finals is huge for a small club. We were once known as the Whipping Boys of Auckland Rugby. Well, guess what? The Whipping Boys have turned into the bullies. The front row bullies of Auckland Rugby. And I'll tell you something, Alama Aramea, if you don't pick Frank, the prop for Eden, you're going to lose him, mate, because he is that good, mate. Anyway, I might as well pass on some of the other results. Jubilee Trophy, University 33, Papatoa 7, Patola Trophy, Waitemata 36, Suburbs 12, and of course the big one, Eden 19, Grammar Tech 10, and I'd like to welcome on the phone former All Black, but also a proud Grammar man, AJ Wheaton. How are you, AJ?
Well, nice little sum up there. I'll tell you what, you wouldn't be an Eden supporter, would you, but
No.
Congratulations. Pass on my congratulations to Eden. 99 years. Wow. It would have been one hell of a celebration in the club on Saturday night. I'm surprised you're at work on the Monday.
Well, but
congratulations. I hear it was well deserved. Too strong up front on the day. Had played the smart rugby. I was getting texts and bits and pieces through the day. I couldn't attend, unfortunately, but to win a Gallagher Shield, which I had never achieved in 14 years of Premier Rugby, and for Eden, after 99 years, what a hell of a day for the club. And I hope everyone associated celebrated accordingly.
And of course, just to let the listeners know, after we've finished with AJ and Blue McLennan, we'll have Dave Bateman, the Premier Coach of Eden, on there. And we're going to have a chat to him. And, you know, I must admit, this is the first anniversary show. I have to say, I've had a lot of wee victories since running the show. The Barbarians Cup, and of course, these two victories on Saturday. There are not many clubs around that your reserves and your premiers can win those two trophies.
No, grab them, mate. They don't come around often. As I said, 14 years and a couple of finals, but never managed to secure one trophy out of my resume. Most of things, everything else, but not that. And I got a bit of a bollocking from yourself, some Warwick Nansett. I've got some other mate, my nephew, my cousin, Johnny Wheaton. He's over in Thailand. I got bombarded with texts, I tell you. And I have a sneaky feeling, though, there may have been 16 on the field, I heard, for Eden. A little man called Piggy, he flew under the radar at 5'2". So anyway, good luck to you all and well done.
Well, I was going to say, you've been very generous on my height. Many would say I'm about 4'11".
Good on you, mate.
No. But it was a great day. It was good. You know, it had a real finals atmosphere about it. And I just want to thank James Johnson, a contents and communications manager at Auckland Rugby, for letting me cover the game for the station. I'll have a lot of the videos uploaded. I'll be sending it to our wonderful people in the office here at Planet FM. So anyone, maybe today or tomorrow, have a quick look at our Facebook page. You'll see some of these interviews, and to see the raw emotion on these players, it's special. It's something that I would have to say. It's been a highlight for me, as you know, in the short little thing of broadcasting or whatever they call it now, and it's a highlight for me as a rugby club member of Eden Rugby. So yeah, I do, and I apologise for being one eye, but hey, these days don't come around often for a small club like ours.
Fair, mate, well done.
Anyway, we better speak we'll speak about the other wee game that was on Saturday, so which I was able to see with, I actually had to open the other eye because the yellow and black eye patch got a bit wet and with a few tears. But All Blacks had a good win, a much better performance over Fiji. I must admit, the takeouts from that game, I was really impressed with Luke Jacobson. But what were some of your takes from the game, AJ?
Well, look, I think first of all, they came out and I think they must have obviously got a rev up. They played probably a wee bit too excited or frantic, and the Fijians looked quite good for that first 10 minutes. They settled down a bit quicker, but then the machine of the All Blacks took over. Seve Reese, good to see him get some ball in hand, and very silky on the wing there, and three tries quickly. I think Luke Jacobson playing at his home track, well off the back of the scrum, liked his positioning there, linked up well, of course, with Artie Savia and Akira Ione. I think the Fijians just fell off the pace a bit. They didn't get everything their own way this week. A wee bit too much over the ball. They got penalised this week, and the boy Dyer didn't quite get the breaks that he had from the following week, so their ball was a bit choked. But no, they look quite expensive for Richie Mwanga. There's no doubt about it. Certainly, number 10 jerseys is his. And Aaron Smith, that combination worked really well. But I hats off to the big men up front. They created the platform. I thought Sam Whitelock and Scotty Barrett too good in the line out after a couple of wayward throws. But apart from that, they were just too dominant in the pack. And that showed in the score, 60 points to 13. Can't really moan too much about that,
can you? Yep, and that was it was a good victory, and I think it was solid. I think they really did need that victory to give them a bit of confidence as they lead into a rugby championship now. TJ Perenara will be returning to the All Blacks squad. So in a few weeks' time, the All Blacks versus the Wallabies. Now, the Wallabies, they had a really real humdinger of a game against France. What was your take?
I was very intent on that. I got a lot of time for Dave Rennie. Very calm, you know, clinical coach. And I've been watching the series, actually, because, let's face it, it's got a bit more punch than the series we've been having here in our domestic market. The French, you never know what they're going to quite do. And nice bit of acting there from the skipper. And number 80 went down with that heck from Kiribati. Look, they've just got to get the rules right, Piggy. I mean, that's fair and square. I just wish the referees had some balls. Am I allowed to say that on radio?
Yeah, my first anniversary show.
I know Mr. O'Keefe, you know, disappointed whether he was overshadowed by the TMO, but his other two associates, come on, guys, grow some nuts, let the game go on. It gets affected if you send someone off. I understand there's rules for a malicious head-eye tackle, but come on, that was my grandmother could have done a tackle like that and taken it. Let the game flow. As soon as you take someone off, it affects the match. Well, they turned it around, and hats off to the Aussies. They gutsed it out. A couple of mistakes from the French, as they do, but a really enthralling game. A couple of good tries from the Aussies with only 14 men, and it just showed you how close that series was. Still a bit of work to do with the Aussies against the All Blacks, I have no doubt, but they'll be a lot more confident that they've got this series under their belt. And the French, well, they'll go back home thinking, you know, we could have won that. You know, but c'est la vie, roll on World Cup 2023. They are going to be a menace in their backyard.
I absolutely agree with you. I think they're going as favourites for that 2023 World Cup. I have to say that. Do you think the Wallabies are going to threaten the All Blacks at all during this Rugby Championship?
Look, I think they will. Well, look, we're going to see, aren't we, on August the 7th. But yeah. We can honestly say we haven't had what you'd say, 100% build-up for our own All Blacks. There's been some areas to work on, and I think that's good, and I think that's also the same for the Australians. But they've had a lot more of a hardened three-match series, haven't they, against the French? They've taken some knocks. They've been found out in certain areas. They've been a bit wayward in their passing and their backline direction at times, a wee bit lost. The forwards always showing the commitment, but some basics at times in their set play. But I think the Aussies will be a bit better prepared physically, but as we know, the game comes down to the top 2 inches, and having not beaten the All Blacks for such a long time, how is that going to be playing, you know, in a series, how is that going to play for them when they face the All Blacks first up at home on August the 7th? It'll be a tough one for them to win at Eden Park, but they may get some momentum back home. But anyway, it's going to be a great series, and this one's going to be a bit tighter to call, I think.
I think so too. AJ, on this first anniversary show, I want to thank you for your contribution to the show. You've added a lot of great insight into the game. And, you know, unfortunately, our old mate who was who had a lot of commitments with golf and fishing was unable to do it. Unfortunately for your cousin Johnny, I was able to get you, and I have to say I've really enjoyed actually doing this rugby part with you. We've had a lot of fun. We've given each other a lot of stick over the last 6 months, so, and I hope that, you know, we can continue this on in the future.
Well, you know that me, I'm not a good loser, so probably no after the result on the weekend. But anyway, I may calm down a bit. We may have a chat the following week. But anyway,
I know you're partial to a rum, so yeah, I know you can be swayed, AJ. I definitely know that you can be swayed, mate. So
well, look, it's all about club rugby. It's all about our local community rugby, and guys like yourself, the clubs. Long may it continue, and just appreciate all the supporters that get along and, you know, support the game and those club members. Without them, we wouldn't be talking on a Monday morning. Cheers to you guys. Appreciate it.
You have a great day there, AJ. Thank you very much. Absolute champion of bloke, actually, and he's had a lot of stick over him from me in the last 48 hours, so, but always willing to come on here. So I'll play a bit of music, we'll get on to Bluey McLennan and speak about the Warriors. Not looking good there, mate.
So on through all summer long, day and night, drifting into so in tune to the sounds in my car. There's a band playing on the radio with a rhythm of rhyming guitar. They're playing a new on the radio.
Welcome everyone back to the West Prince Sports Review. Wow, I did get to watch the Warriors before I got to work this morning, so I had to get up a bit early. Still resting a bit of a sore head, to be honest with you. So, but there's going to be some real concerns at the Warriors with Tohu Harris and Wayne Egan out for the season. A head knock to Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, hamstring injury to Rocco Berry. But we might as well speak to the expert. And I'll tell you something, I've really enjoyed having this guy on this season. It's former Kiwis coach, former Warriors coach, former Leeds Rhinos coach, Bluey McLennan. Good afternoon, Bluey. How are you, mate?
Yeah, doing really well, thank you. How you doing with that sore head, mate? You're okay?
Well, mate, you know, it took us 99 years. I was thinking, hope it doesn't take another 99 years. I'll be well and truly in the ground by then, mate.
It's well deserved. So close to Eden Park, 2A, and home of rugby union. So well done to Eden. Awesome.
Yeah, no, it's good. Well, we might as well kick into it. Panthers 30, Warriors 16. I brought up about the injuries, some real concerns. Roger's head knock could be a bit of a worry, but Tohu Harris and Wayne Egan, that's two big losses, Bluey.
Yeah, well, Tohu's been the most consistently our best player this season. And in the seasons he's been, it's been always a struck match between him and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, and gee, the Warriors lose them within 15 minutes. So, you know, it's Tohu at the 10, and I think Roger Tuivasa-Sheck around the 15-minute mark, and then he had Wade Egan went down, and then I looked across to the bench, and Rocco Berry was sitting there, and it was, such a tough situation to be in for the Warriors. But, you know, really was encouraged, and, you know, and I hope everyone gets it, how tough it is when you haven't got interchanges in a game of rugby league.
It does make a difference.
It is so, so difficult. And, you know, you had big Adam Fanua Blake crack out 80 minutes, and I think Matthew Lodge got a three-minute break. You know, that's all he could be afforded. And they were outstanding. They were rumbling in the middle. Now, the Penrith Panthers, their defence has been the best out of any club in the comp. Next best is Storm. But the Panthers have really gone big on their defence this year. They are hard to break down. And I tell you what, the Warriors were breaking them down. So how they decided to attack Piggy was instead of just straight off the ruck, they were giving the props a little bit of space so that they could, there was bigger spaces in the middle defenders, so coming out of a scrum line, and they were going in and using their footwork and getting some offloads. And once that starts happening, it just ignited everyone. So really, really loved the change in the tactics, the change in the personnel. I would go so far as saying if they didn't get their injuries, I reckon they would have went on and won that game.
Oh, yeah. That's a big call, Bluey, but yeah, I think you could be right, because I think the biggest thing is people don't realise when a guy like Fanua Blake would probably play 50 to 55 minutes in that match, he'll have consistently be on that interchange bench. So for him, that's a big effort, and he is a big man. There are real concerns because it's not going to get any easier. I believe they've got the Rabbitohs next, and it's just where they are on the table is 14th, and well, the season's over for them. I can't see them making the top eight, Bluey, and I think you would agree with me on that. I think it's a big ask, but yeah, it's probably just battling out and trying to get up the table to finish the season off with a bit of respect.
Yeah, it could be. They play the Rabbitohs this week, and they're the only top four club they're going to play for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to play Melbourne again. They played them twice already. They have to play, they don't even have to play the Roosters. They have to play Penrith or Para. So, you know, if they could somehow sneak one past the Rabbits, that, you know, they've got the ability here. The way they played yesterday, if they can get consistent with that, but it's very hard to get consistency when you get injuries. So Tohu going for that length of time is for the whole year. That's a big blow. And Wade Egan as well, because he's a specialist hooker and jagged a really nice try yesterday, the first try. And, when they're coming out of the scrum line and he played as a half roll and hit the lead and Matthew Lodge and then pushed forward. And so he's got a lot of ability, Wade Egan. So it's a matter of where they're going to go with the hooking stocks now. Are they going to start with Cody Nikarima, who looked comfortable in there in that dummy half roll, Piggy? And I still think they're a chance.
We better kick on to the other games. The Eels 26, yep. The Titans 8. The Eels look pretty good. Kieran Foran had a great performance. The Seagulls 32, the Dragons 18. Foran really ran the show well there. And, of course, the Roosters 34, the Cowboys 18. Joey Manu had another big game.
Yeah, there's some Kiwi boys in good form. And for the Eels with the Titans, Kevin Proctor got Sinbin, Eels whacking three tries. In today's game this year, it shows that when a team's got momentum, they can really pile on points quickly. And so you've got to really, try and wrestle back that control, wrestle back that momentum. Well, Manly, I was really impressed with Kieran Foran, and I was also Schuster. I think...
Yeah, very good.
He's a young star on the rise. He's big, he's skillful, he's athletic. Once Cherry Evans comes back in the side, they'll put Schuster as that left-back role and play him in that Glenn Stewart-type role when they were winning premierships. And, this Manly team, as we've been saying for a few weeks now, mate, they're the dark horses of the comp here, and Des Hasler, out of all the coaches, would have the best record going up against Bellamy. If they stay healthy, Manly are going to give this a shake. And then the Raiders got up on the Sharks as well.
Yeah, well, the Raiders look like they're going to have a real good crack at that top eight, and of course the Storm do what they do, 48 points to 4 over the Knights.
Yeah.
they're just a juggernaut, Bluey.
Oh, what a fantastic club. Has had the best culture of any club, arguably in sports, really. I mean, the consistency of them being in the top four over the last 20 years has been incredible. And it's a testament to Craig Bellamy leading the club and Frank Panisi, the manager. They were actually told that they were to get ready, to go up to Queensland and it was going to be in a couple of days' time. And then they got a call an hour later saying, pack your bags, we've got to go within 4 hours. So they handled all that, go up, and then put 40 points past the Knights, 44 points past them. It's just, that's a phenomenal effort given that they just had to, pack their bags straight away and didn't get to sleep till 2 a.m. in the morning, so their prep was all over the shop, but they're so professional, the Storm, they go out and do the job.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. Tigers, they had a good win, 42-24 win over the Broncos. That'll probably relieve a bit of pressure off Michael Maguire. And, of course, this last game ended up to be quite a seesawing battle. Rabbitohs 32, the Bulldogs 24. And this game was really, really close, Bluey.
Yeah, and I think, the Bulldogs are improving. They've got Shag there helping with the culture and now they've got Phil Gould. So, geez, they've got two of the best minds in sport helping the club. And Trent Barrett is, there's a huge opinion of Trent Barrett and how he's going to be, how he will become one of the great coaches. So it's all in place. It's just going to take some time for them to... just grow into the team they want to be. But I know from experience myself, you've got to get your culture right first, and that's what they're working on. So, you know, I can see Bulldogs making some good steps over the next few years.
I think they will, of course, with the addition of Addo Carr next season, and there's still rumours about other players going there. I just think I think there could be a resurgence within the next 2 to 3 seasons at Belmore.
Yeah. Yeah, there certainly will be, Piggy. And you got Burton, who we got to see glimpse of yesterday playing the Warriors for the Panthers. So he's what Trent Barrett wants as a 5'8" at the Dogs next year, and I think he'll make a big difference too.
He certainly will. Well, Bluey, I have to say, on this first anniversary show, you know, when last season we had Frank Endicott, he was fantastic. When Frank couldn't commit, first I said, "Have you got Bluey's number?" He said, "I'll text it to you straight away." And you're part of the stable diet of the show, and then, you know, really great insight that you've given to rugby league for us, and I know a lot of our listeners really enjoy it.
Oh, thanks so much for the compliment. Much appreciated. Yeah, Frank's a good man, so we chat every now and again, and, you know, I just love the game of rugby league, love all sports. So, yeah, mate, take Powerade, mate. Drink some Powerade for that hangover, champ.
No, it's not we can't say it. My boss might be listening, actually. I will survive. It will just mean a body with less alcohol in it for a while.
Good on you, mate.
Okay, hey, thanks a lot, Bluey.
See you, buddy.
Bye. Blue McLennan, what a good dude. Okay, I'm going to play a bit of music. Next up, I'm going to get on the line Dave Bateman, the premier coach of the Eden rugby side, who won their first Gallagher Shield in 99 years. Play a bit of music, and we'll hopefully we have him when we get back.
Hallelujah. 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 Well, your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty in the moonlight overthrew you. Well, she tied you to her kitchen chair. She broke your throne and cut your hair, and from your lips she drew hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Ironic we play Hallelujah, because Hallelujah happened at Eden Park on Saturday. 99 years in trying. You know, a club like Eden, you know, there's been a real rugby revolution, and it's been started under this guy, Dave Bateman. I think he's done some fantastic stuff, and he's put together a team. And this is a team of no egos, everyone's the same at the same level, and they really like each other. And I have to say, Dave, you said to me at the pre-season of Waka Nathan, when am I coming on your show? I've been on Darcy's show, and I said, what did I say to you? Win a Gallagher Shield, I'll get you on there, mate.
Now, you're a man of your promises, I'll give you that.
Oh,
yes,
yeah,
I'll give you that, mate.
Okay, well, I have to say, mate, what a great day it was for Eden. Great day for you personally as a coach, because I think you've really, since 2015, taken over, you've really glued together a really good team and a really good culture there.
Yeah, we started from the bottom, mate. We pulled the club apart. We pulled the committee apart, and we rebuilt and laid some pretty good foundations that we believe will work, you know, and the people involved have never won Gala Shields before. So it was just all common sense and opinion. And we trusted our opinions, but, you know, we didn't know if they were 100% or not. And thing over the weekend. It really proved that we were right. And what I'm happy about is we've done it our own way. I told the team in the change rooms before the game, I said, look, let's just win this how we play rugby, how we do things, and put our personality on their game, and they've done that, and won the Gala Shield. So it's been a long couple of days, and I think the boys are still going now. I'll go check up on them, but the change rooms were pretty crazy yesterday. Couldn't actually talk to them. They're pretty gone, but
yeah,
good times, mate. Good times, Biggie.
It certainly has been made, and you have a look at it back, and, you know, we talk, when I first met you, it would have been about all 24 years ago. That's when you're a young man. Now you're considered as middle-aged, if you don't mind telling the listeners.
There you go.
Yeah, but you have a look at it, like, when, as a club Eden, when I've flirted up and down between first and second division, and there were some changes made, some quarters not universally popular, but they had to be made. And, you know, there has been, it was great to see the way your guys have conducted yourself during that week. It was a good build-up. You guys looked relaxed. The main thing was, as I said to everyone, you were given enough space, and, you know, that was a real special thing what you'd done to our patron, Tom O'Hanlon. You know, he'd been playing rugby there since the 50s. Over 70 years he'd been waiting for this, and, you know, mate, I've never seen a guy so proud wearing that Gallagher Shield medal, mate.
Yeah, Tom was pretty special, eh? So we brought him into the team probably about 4 years ago, and he was our team patron. And he followed us around, and it's quite weird. The boys listen to him more than they listen to me before the game. He's the only person I've ever seen get a cheer after a pre-game speech. I don't get none of that.
Yeah.
But just to get him out on the field, and I saw when we won, Biggie ran straight over to him.
Yeah.
Didn't celebrate with the team, gave him a hug and a kiss, and then I think what was more special, I talked to his wife, Joan, yesterday, and they weren't aware, but he was in the New Zealand Herald holding up the Gala Shield with the boys, and he was front and central, and yeah, he's just a happy man, and that's what we want to do. You know, we're a club, we're a rugby club in the end, an amateur rugby club. We're not professional.
No.
And so it's all about grassroots and the working man, and someone like Tom to be a part of that occasion and wait so long for it is justified now. All that work's justified.
It certainly is, and you know, going on that field, afterwards and doing the interviews with yourself and Iggy, I think Pat McKendry might have been a little bit peeved with me because I got Iggy before he did, so he came and saw you. But no, Pat wrote a real fantastic article, and if anyone has a chance to read that, have a look at it, go online and have a look at it. He really wrote a great article, and a good bloke is Pat McKendry from the New Zealand Herald. But, you know, just to see the emotion on those guys' faces, and when you're coming back to that club rooms, you know, I haven't seen it packed like that for ages, and it just had a good feeling. I think I had a sore back, and I think most of it was through man hugs, so the old back was a bit sore. But the other thing too, Dave, is that the team you've got there, you know, Frank, Big Frank, I really don't know. I really hope that Alama and Steve Bates and see a bit of sense, you know, because he's good enough for that Auckland team. In fact, I'm going to put it out there. I think he's good enough for super rugby level.
Yeah, nah, Frank's awesome, eh? And we don't understand why he's not chosen. He's always on the fringe, and he's brought in when the All Blacks are away. Whenever they come back to Auckland, he sort of gets thrown into the bees, and yet I've seen him year after year completely destroy All Black props, super rugby props. And he's got this weird reputation where all the coaches love him, but they just don't pick him. But after Saturday, and you know, there's been a lot of interest from around the country.
Oh, yeah, there certainly is. The wagons are so clean, mate.
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday about it, and he's pretty keen. But you know how rugby works. It works when it's like if a union can't get a player because someone else is after them, they'll sign them. So
yeah.
I would say Auckland will probably sign them now because other people want them. It's just a weird little political game that they have, but the guy's a machine. He was injured. He had a prolapse this yesterday before the game.
Yeah.
That no one knew about, and he absolutely destroyed their scrum. So
yeah,
and it was off him.
And you have a look at it. He done 80. For Frank to do 80 and Polak's disc, that's just extraordinary. But you've also got some great characters like Blake Hill, really a really good bloke, a great leader in that forward pack. You got them two Rutherford boys, absolute fantastic characters. They really do. You know, they make me laugh. They're a bit different. They can get a bit loose, but they're really good club guys, and they really fit into, you know, what we do at what you've done and what the committee has done, and me as a member at Eden. I really enjoy having a chat. And E-Man, a very humble man. And it was just, you know, looking at some of the guys in that forward pack, I was really impressed. But, you know, Nico and Iggy, mate, two special players.
Mate, I hold them in the same bracket as Frank. I don't understand. Obviously, Nico's played a bit of minor 10 here and there. With Iggy, he's always been on the fringe. But the same as Frank, for some reason, selectors don't want to choose him yet. In club rugby, everyone knows the Costas, and all the players respect them, but they're scared of them. And I don't understand why they haven't gone any further, but on Saturday, it's quite weird because you see we played a bit of a 10-man game in that weather,
yeah.
And that goes against everything the Costas played rugby for. And to see them knuckle down and play 10-man rugby and dominate 10-man rugby just shows how good they are. They can cover every facet. But I can see that they're twitching in the eyelids, mate, when they're doing it. They're not happy. It's going to win the Gallo Shield, and that's just another trophy that they've brought to the club. You know, they've bought the National Sevens Trophy a couple of times.
Auckland Sevens.
The Auckland Sevens Trophy. And they went down to Restricted and won the National 85 Cup. Yeah, you know, they just win. And if they win, Eden wins.
Yeah, that's it. And they're great club guys, mate. They are definitely club guys, you know. You know, just having that chat to Iggy afterwards, and, you know, his leadership was fantastic on Saturday, mate. His leadership was him, Blake, and Nico, just that leadership. And it was just, you know, that probably was the difference I felt on Saturday, was we played the right tactics. And the other thing, too, is, David, I think the biggest thing is that this team's been together for a while, so they know each other.
Yeah, we've been together a long time. I said before the game, I picked out four boys that I've been coaching for 12 years.
Yeah.
And then there's another two that started with me in 2015, and then another four in 2016, and another six in 2017. So there's a couple of newbies this year, but other than that, the team's been together so long that we don't have to start again in pre-season. We can just sort of start off where we left off from the year before.
Yeah.
So we didn't have to talk about systems, all those sessions. We just go straight into it. But yeah, with that leadership, look, guys like Iggy, he's really grown into being a leader. He struggled with it at the start, but he is a natural leader. I don't think he really realised it, and now he is. Guys like Blake, they're just natural. Blake would be a general in an army if he was in the military. But with Iggy to become the leader he is, that's cool, becoming, you know, growing into being a man of the finished product. And it's just good to see, you know. And that's what we're doing in club rugby. We're just all about building people and, you know, just being happy, living good lives and enjoying rugby. And that's what we're doing, and winning by doing it.
And, you know, a special mention goes out to the reserves, Stuart, Rowan, Cassidy, Morgan, and Grumpy Brax, the sponsor. What a great day it is for them as well, too.
Mate, to win both the development and the prems, I'd have to go into the history books to see that, and for Eden to do it, it made the club twice as animal over the weekend. But just to see how they've done, like, they went about their finals prep the opposite to us. They really knuckled down on and trained really hard.
Yeah.
But they had to, because it's total different squads. We were quite relaxed. And as I said to Stu on Saturday, both worked. You know, you had your ideas, I had mine, and both were opposite, but it both worked. So they've done really well, mate. They've done really well, actually, all three of those coaches.
Yeah, and you have a look at it, like, you have a look at some of, you know, like, the Lizards went down, but a bit sad for them, but they've got the National Cup to concentrate on. 21's got a, 21's won their bowl final over East Tamaki, but one of the things is that I spoke to Frenchy, who I think is just a brilliant player, 80 kgs ringing wet and can tackle anything, is that there is no hierarchy when it comes to playing. Like, back in the eras when I was playing rugby, say down in Christchurch, there was always a hierarchy that the Prem sat there, the Reserve sat there, these teams sat there. There's none of it. It's just a big family at Eden.
It has to be, mate, because with the development, I've coached those guys all through 20s, 19s, 21s. So we've all known each other for how many years? You know, I've known Stu, the development coach, for probably about 20 years.
Yeah.
You can't have a hierarchy when you're all long-term mates, and I think that's what, in rugby clubs in general, players don't realise, that you're forging lifelong friendships, and you just don't know it. You're in each other's pockets for 5 months of the year, for about 10 years, and when you finish, you think, geez, there's like a lifelong friend. You just don't realise it at the time. So, there's no hierarchy at Eden because we're just mates. That's all it is.
And that's it. It is a family mate and a family of mates. Well, I'm going to say something, Dave. Have to say, what has happened at the club and what has happened since 2015 has been a rugby revolution. And congratulations, Dave, on what you have achieved.
Thanks, Doug. Really appreciate it, mate.
Anyway, I better let you go now because I've just actually had a text from another coach at Eden, so he's trying to get hold of me. But I just want to hope you enjoy the rest of the week. Recover. You'll probably recover by Wednesday.
That's it.
Okay,
mate.
Hey, thanks for your time, buddy.
Cheers, big catch
up. See ya. That was Dave Bateman, and that was good. That was a really good interview. Really enjoyed it, mate. Probably one way to celebrate your first anniversary, isn't it? Anyway, we're going to play a bit of music, and I'll just get the panel on next.
Nobody has to know. Our love has grown so strong. Close the shades and plug the phone. How can our love be so wrong? Nobody has to know. Nobody has to know.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review here on Planet FM, proudly brought to you by Westprint, our major sponsor. And wow, we are waiting on at the moment. I can only track down the great man, the silver tongue, silver fox, Mr. Summerfield. How are you, sir?
I'm good, mate.
Good. Unfortunately, Watson, I was talking to him on Friday. Yeah, I'll do your show. And I said, yeah, just whenever I text them through the details, I think the guy's having a few problems in Japan with phone work. And, of course, I'll probably get a call on Wednesday with him giving me a bit of telling me the story, which will probably take up 20 minutes of my time. But anyway, man, how you been?
I'm good. I mean, I'm not in Japan, but I'm in New Lynn right now running some errands. So I'm on hands-free. Just make that being known.
Yeah, but, okay.
I was ready to hear all about Tokyo, mate.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to hear about Tokyo because Mark always gives some really great... He gives some great insight into stuff, and, you know, like, he's probably a bit concerned that he may have to call a medal for Anton Cooper and mention our two names, you know. So, but anyway, just over the sporting weekend, motorsports, the old Giz seems to keeps that lead going in the supercars, doesn't he, Sean?
Yeah, although it was, there's a bit of niggle. He had a bit of a duel with Jamie Wincup. And I think there was a bit of a talking to from the 888 team boss, Roland Dane, over that. And then Cam Waters has started to show some form. He admitted he's been sort of struggling in the Ford, but he seems to have got that right. So it's not over yet, but as Shane said, you know, I don't mind getting second when I can have a great race like that. But, yeah, very... never good when the two teammates get a talking to from the boss for racing too hard. But, you sort of see a track like Townsville, which is sort of half a street circuit, half a regular circuit. They call it a hybrid. Don't get excited, Jacinda. It's a hybrid. Doesn't always involve EVs. And you see the cars rubbing against the walls and, you know, obviously the walls take no prisoners, and it's just a reminder of how these street races can make great TV.
Yeah, they can make great TV, and of course the old Giz, you know, I think that Cam Waters is really beginning to take a little bit out of the Giz's lead, but I think the Giz is pretty comfortable in front. But talking about a bit of niggle, Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton, oh my goodness.
Yeah, you know, I watched that, and it reminded me of Senna and Prost in Japan. You know, there was no need for that to happen. Max did give him some room. It was shaping up to be a great fight. I think it was a very cynical move, and one of the fastest corners in the championship. So to pull that kind of act was, I think, a bit low. And I'm speaking sort of neutral here. I'm neither a Hamilton fanboy nor am a massive critic of him. I try and say how I see it. But there was no need for him to do that, especially that early in the race. And it was a 51G collision. Max hit the wall, and I know he got out in one piece and stuff, but that could have been very, very, very ugly, that sort of thing. I mean, the tyre actually flew off the rim, hit it so hard, and it was just, I don't know, a dick move, actually, in my eyes. And later on in the race, when Hamilton passed Charles Leclerc for the lead, I watched a similar sort of, it was the same corner, and Lewis pulled the same move, but this time Charles Leclerc gave him so much space that he actually went off the track. And remembering that Charles had actually been, he was in the background when Lewis hit Verstappen, and he saw it happen. So he was very wary of what went on, and I think that's why he gave it the extra room. He went off the track, so he stood no chance of getting the place back. Not that he really stood a huge chance against Hamilton there. That said, though, Hamilton, you know, he took his 10-second penalty. He drove an incredible race, which does make you question why does he need to pull that sort of action if he's that quick. You know, if his car's that quick, if he's that good, does he need to pull that stuff? But I think the lead is now 12 points in the championship. It's also a lot closer because two Mercedes finished up there. And, so Mercedes have gained out of it. So a great interview with Christian Horner from Red Bull, and he was hurting. He was pulling no punches, what he said, Eamon. And I think if Niggle's going to go on, I don't know how Lewis can sort of atone for this. Because
it's can't.
Bordering on indefensible. I don't know how you see it.
No, I absolutely agree with you. I just thought, it, you know, like, you've been a fan of him. I think he's a wonderful driver. You know, and I'm, you know, I don't want to sound thing, but as a person, I think he's a bit of a dipstick, to be honest with you. I find some of his attitude.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. I wasn't talking about myself because, you know, a lot of people call me.
The thing is, Verstappen is. But Max Verstappen is actually. I remember when he won his first race. He's a horrendously talented young driver. And he just had to get in the right equipment, and he's not scared of getting his elbows out and racing hard.
Yeah.
And he's made plenty of mistakes. And you know, he'll sometimes do his best to own up to them. But he's from a very hard, almost sort of Germanic. Schumacher sort of approach, whereas Hamilton, I don't know, you tread this thing where you try to be that sort of touchy feely dude, but then you play hardball. You know, and this is the thing, you know, that Senna was a genius, rest his soul, but he did do some dick moves. And the same with with Schumacher.
And Prost, I suppose, you know, you can't just be a miss. You're in that sort of environment. You can't. You've got to have that bit of hard-nosed attitude, Sean. That's the way see it.
Yeah, you've got to be hard-nosed, but there is a get to a level where it's cynical, and if we look at why we love sport.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to get too sort of esoteric here, but we love that it's about. I mean, I've said to you about this before. We've talked about this. Justice Earl Warren had this great comment. He said, when I opened the newspaper, I turned to the back page first for it celebrates man's achievements, the front page only failure.
Absolutely.
And you look at sport, it's about people trying to be their best.
Yeah.
And it's horrendously competitive, and people are giving it their all, and we're going to see this at the Olympics. Mm. But the whole reason that, Pierre de Coubertin, when he founded the modern Olympics, he based all of the ethos on rugby. Because, yes, you play horrendously hard, you hit hard, you do all these things, but there is that Corinthian nature as well. And I've watched the promo on Sky for the Olympics, and I think the same on TVNZ, and they both show that from that middle distance race where the athletes tripped over each other, and she went back and helped her.
Yeah, and that was fantastic. But you have a look at moments like, you know, like...
But that's not showing Usain Bolt, though.
It's showing
that.
It's showing that, and that's what the Olympics were built on. And you know, I think, you know, like it is a game of sports. Like I'll tell you the fairy tale weekend I had. My club after 99 years finally winning a Gallagher Shield, and you know, it's seeing the emotions. But also one of the things I was really impressed was the grammar captain, tech captain, really respectful. Said, "Hey, you guys deserved it today." And both teams were respectful to each other, because it is only a game after all.
But that's why we saw that in the Euros. You know, players hit each other hard. I mean, anyone that thinks that football at a serious level isn't physical is dreaming. But you know, there is that whole thing that you help the opposition wingers help each other up. There's all that sort of thing. You see if you've had a collision, how the person's doing, and we've seen that sort of thing. You know, right through, and that is the thing, and that's why I love sport. I love the drama, but there is that it's about being a good sport because all it takes is one moment of, and I'm talking cynical moves. When Lewis, if he had the pace, he would have got past him.
Yeah,
if the crew could have had strategy and got past him, they didn't need to. He didn't need to do that early in the race. And as most racing drivers will tell you, Eamon, you can't win a race on the first lap, but you can damn well lose it.
You certainly can.
And I mean, I'm just glad Max is okay, because looking at that car, that was brutal. I mean, Copps is a horrendously fast corner. And it just, you know, because they're fighting for the championship, I just straight away thought of Senna and Prost in Japan. Their first lap, you know.
Yeah, that one, remembering that series, that's something. You know, you look at that, you Senna, Prost, Hunt, Lauda, so you know, moments like that. Where are you? But I just think there has to be respect. Anyway, Sean, I was a bit disappointed we didn't have Mark here because I was going to let him know that in the Auckland rugby media box covering the Gallagher Shield, there were three ex-St Old Boys of St Thomas's of Canterbury College.
Mate, just take it over. Yeah, we're great orators,
Pat McKendry is a legend, mate.
Expressing the English sandwich, love of sport, and of course our first thing doing great. We've got a league team that does great for a little old school. It's fantastic. I try to explain to people why we get so excited. When you and I were there, there was 380 kids from Form 1 to 7.
Yeah.
And we were lucky to be in the top level of first 15. So, you know, when Mark Hammett was in your year, he was almost too good to play at our school.
He was. He was getting offers from some bees to come over to there on a scholarship. But, you know, Mark's gone back then. He's really moderate, really good first 15. But the ironic thing was, and I thought about singing the school anthem, but I thought that would be, I don't think it was really the day to do it at the Eden Park media box, but I made the quote, I said, three guys from St Thomas's covering an Auckland club rugby final was the ironic part of it.
Oh, mate, I tell you, I obviously didn't make it to the game. Was it a good crowd?
Oh, yeah, oh, fantastic crowd. Mostly Eden guys, so it was mostly, obviously where they are and Sandringham, so it was just a walk down. But, you know, it was a great day, and you don't realise what a fantastic journalist Patrick McKendry is. To actually watch him and just do his job, and, you know, I'd ask him the odd time, and I said, Patrick, I said, I won't get a, because I mentioned about you, how you got emotional about 24 years ago in the media boxes, but that media box has now changed. But he just said to me, he said, 10 minutes to go, he said, you might as well get excited now, which was great. It was,
yeah.
So it was good.
And, you know,
I have to
say, you talk about Eden not winning, mate, for 99 years, the Gallagher Shield. Patrick McKendry, back down in Southland when he was sort of his first big newspaper job, did a story on the Otautau senior team who had the longest losing streak in rugby. And I don't think they won a game for 3 or 4 years or longer.
Yeah.
And he went and did the whole story, and the day he covered it, they ended their losing streak. He could not have... It was just, he was destined. He found a great yarn, and it happened, and he won a big award for it. And he's got a real, real knack, you know.
He's good.
And when you read anything about, when he spots stuff of what the All Blacks should be doing, when he tells you that Bowden's lost a couple of percent because he hasn't been under enough mental pressure on the field in Japan, trust it, because Paddy knows it.
Oh, he certainly does, and he's a bloody good guy, Paddy is. And I have to say, you know, almost just over a year ago, I asked you to come on the show, and you said, listen, I'll do the first 4 weeks until you find someone. And I'm a bit sad that our old mate Mark Watson's here. And I have to say that, first, a lot of people don't realise this. Sean and Mark have never worked together, but the way you two have interacted on the air, the way you've probably kept Watson under control and wound him up at the same time, how you've kept me in check... It's really, you know, your contribution to the show, Sean, has been fantastic. And, you know, as I said, I've probably got the best guy on motorsports in New Zealand. And don't get too ego on this, but also got a great mate that's willing to help me. And I really appreciate what you've done,
Sean. No, mate, look, basically, I've spent a lot of years in radio. And the best thing is when a few mates talking crap about something that you're passionate about, as a listener or whatever, and that's how it should be. And I hope, you know, if you're listening right now, you just, you know, you feel part of this conversation because, to be honest, most of what we say is from the heart. And I joked about it last week. Mark Watson, I read him being described as a shock jock.
Yeah.
And I was saying that because he shouldn't be, mate. He's a
top broadcaster.
He stands for everything he said. And he's a mighty smart guy. And, you know, he's probably a lot braver, almost stupidly brave, I think. Not many journos, especially on broadcast, are as brave as him.
Absolutely, Sean. And I have to say, mate, it's been... I've really enjoyed you, so you've both kept me in check, mate, and... hopefully we'll chat again next week. Obviously, what I'm going to be.
Gil, that sounded like an exit interview. Thank you.
No. You're definitely on for next week. You've been employed. Anyway, thanks so much.